clients who couldn't afford care, couldn't afford to pay for it, they were turned away. Now, it's important to remember their motto. What is that? Care no matter what. Care if you have the cash, care if you want an abortion, but it's not care no matter what. Welcome to Straight Talk on Life Issues. We're really pleased to have you with us during this special program. I'm Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
And I'm your co-host, Victor Nieves. Today, we're highlighting a surprising article titled Planned Parenthood, Botched Care, and Tired Staff. This was published by the New York Times, describing the terrible care that's given to women by Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, to say that we're surprised is certainly an understatement, because the New York Times has been an ally, a loyal and dedicated ally of Planned Parenthood and abortion on demand. So to have this come out is just stunning, to say the least. And to actually talk about botched legal abortions and how badly they were botched just boggles my mind.
Well, and one of the cases that the article highlights is the case of a woman named Nicara Alston. She got an abortion, or so she thought, she got an abortion at 8 weeks, only to find out that the Planned Parenthood had failed the procedure. She was still pregnant. Because of that, she suffered with weeks of pain and bleeding, and the abortion facility staff had assured her that they had seen the aborted baby. She had nothing to worry about. As it turns out, after 12 more weeks, after the abortion, she went into labor, and tragically, she delivered a baby that would quickly pass away. Brad, her attorney, I think this is something that's very telling, her attorney who claims to be pro-abortion, right? This isn't a pro-life kind of an activist attorney or anything. This is a guy who is pro-abortion. He says yes, that he's speaking out and suing Planned Parenthood because of how poor this care is.
Yes, he's standing up for someone who was just discarded. Victor, it is an outrage that this woman had to needlessly suffer physically and emotionally as a result of Planned Parenthood's incompetence. They don't care about women. They only care about the money. And did they go back to the woman, apologize, and offer at least to pay for the cost of the abortion they charged her? But I doubt that any of that sympathy was expressed to the woman.
That's a good point, Brad. I mean, the bare minimum from this Planned Parenthood, if they cared about her, would have been, for one, to not let her suffer for this long, but for two, after that happened, to at least try to do something for this woman. But you just know that they left her high and dry. They hung her out to dry because they don't care, because they got the money that they were interested in, and it's time to move on to the next person.
I just wonder how anemic she was when she got to the hospital and how heroic efforts it took to save that woman's life. Tragically, they couldn't save the baby. But, you know, the article goes on to talk about so many failings of Planned Parenthood. I think it's important for us to talk about just how thorough this author was. She reviewed clinical documents. She looked at legal filings. And she interviewed more than 50 former or current Planned Parenthood staff. And her investigation found some clinics are so short of cash that care has suffered. And she details it. Many operate with aging equipment, poorly trained staff, and turnover has increased because of rock bottom salaries as high as 50%.
Well, and some of the things that they highlight, as you mentioned, the 50 former or current staff, the legal filings, the clinical documents, what we see are reports of, for example, these facilities begging for supplies and then being turned down. Like you said, the staff is poorly trained in many cases. We have inexperienced peers that are being responsible for training new employees, the blind leading the blind in these cases. We have buildings that are in need of repair. Let's talk about this, Brad. A shocking thing to include in this New York Times article. There are buildings that were so in need of repairs, they had backed up sewage that was pouring into the building, and even reports of clients that were vomiting from the stench. Can you imagine thinking that you're getting quote unquote health care and there's sewage in the building?
Yeah, and those particular women were in their abortion recovery room. waking up groggy, trying to deal with what just happened, many crying, as we know, and then you add this misery to the tragedy of what they're dealing with. Non-abortion clients, and I call them clients, not patients, were forced to endure as much as 3 hour waits, only to be seen sometimes by 10 minutes, because part of their needing for more cash, they want to schedule more clients. And so then they limited the appointments to a mere 10 minutes. Now here's something that everybody should know is clients who couldn't afford care, couldn't afford to pay for it, they were turned away because the wait to get the approval through Planned Parenthood was so long, they just sent them home. Now, it's important to remember their motto. What is that? Care no matter what. Care if you have the cash, care if you want an abortion, but it's not care no matter what. And clients were given the wrong medicine in many cases, while others were given expired pain meds. Now imagine that going through an abortion, they often say, oh, it won't be painful. And then it is. And they give you pain meds only to find out they are expired and not effective. STD tests results for about 4 months were not recorded on the patient's records because they were short-staffed. And so after hearing nothing, the clients mistakenly thought that the test results were negative and continued on their way when they actually had an STD.
Well, you know, Brad, I think that this also highlights, there's more examples that we'll get to, but even what we've just covered so far, I think it highlights very clearly where Planned Parenthood's priorities actually lie. They often try to put up this facade as if, you know, Planned Parenthood isn't just about abortion. But the truth is, Planned Parenthood is just about abortion. They claim that they do other things. They claim that they're going to provide care for these women who maybe can't pay. But we see that that's not the truth. We see that these women, I mean, can you imagine these women who went in to go get tested for a disease and then they just never hear anything back? Oh my goodness, what a clear cut highlighting of the fact that they don't care about these women. They're not there to look out for them or to provide some sort of health care. They didn't even have the decency to respond to them. So then you have these poor women with expired pain medication. They're not getting their correct information from their testing. For me, I mean, this seems like a huge, for one, a liability, but an example that this isn't the care that people would expect when they go to a medical facility. They're not behaving like this is, you know, patients, as you said, they're not being treated like patients. They're being treated like almost like cattle to be farmed for money in this industry. It's terrible.
Yeah, and even some of the staff told the author of this article that it was factory type process as far as what the patients endured. Those women are not patients. They are walking dollar signs. And unless the dollar sign glows, they are nothing. And as we know and learned that they were asked to leave. And staffing, you know, you can't work for an organization whose pretty much sole purpose is to kill innocent children in the womb and not be marred by that. So, as you would expect, turnover is huge. And it was especially huge in Tempe, Arizona. And a former manager of that facility, Deanna Evans, said that over time, and I quote, one by one, there was no staff. So, just everybody ended up walking out the door and they had to close for 8 months. It took them to get enough staff to open. And it's no wonder staff are told that they need to get a part-time job in order to make ends meet at home because they get paid so little. Staff who worked overtime were refused overtime pay. Employees who required time off, either with an accident or injury, or if they had a newborn child at home, if they needed that time off, they were simply eliminated from the payroll. And during the workday, several of them were denied work breaks. Can you imagine being so tight and Grinch-like that you deny even a break for the staff? And then there were those who reported discrimination. We know from past history, Victor, that Planned Parenthood has a systemic problem with racism. And those who reported it, or they reported about poor clinic practices, were just outright fired.
Well, and to you, our listener, I think that as we read through these reports again from court filings, from former Planned Parenthood staff members, from people who have firsthand insider knowledge of what's going on in these Planned Parenthood facilities. This is a pretty clear, to me, Brad, a tale of two cities. I would encourage anyone to look at what we're seeing come out of Planned Parenthood and then to compare that, go look at your local pregnancy resource center. Go look and just see the difference in care. Go see the difference in the way that these women are treated. When a woman walks into a Planned Parenthood, as you mentioned, it's like a dollar sign is walking through their door. Not like it's a patient, not like it's someone to be loved and to be cared for, not someone who they have the best interest at heart for, but a dollar sign walking through that front door. Compare that to a pregnancy resource center, which is where the rubber meets the road. It's the arms and legs of the pro-life movement. When a woman walks through the doors, even an abortion-minded woman, we've had the opportunity on this show, Brad, to talk to so many people who are working in those pregnancy resource centers and to see their heart and to see the stories of just the love that they pour into these women. They will jump through hoops, they will bend over backward, even for people who don't agree with them, because they truly love them. And so there's a reason, I would say, personally, that we don't see this kind of stuff coming out of pregnancy resource centers, because those are environments filled with love, not environments where, you're a walking, talking dollar sign to them.
So, what was Planned Parenthood's official response to many of these allegations? The clinic manager stated, and I quote, "Their staff members adhere to the highest medical standards, receive comprehensive training, and work with management to address concerns in a timely fashion," end quote. Oh, really? And then Joel Soleimani, chairman of Planned Parenthood Action Fund, said, and I quote, "There are always anecdotal things that you can get from disgruntled staff people," end quote. And it's interesting to also point out that his arm of the abortion conglomerate spent $40 million to elect pro-abortion candidates. And as we know, as it turned out, that was money poorly spent.
Well, Brad, not to beat a broken record here, but again, $40 million. Could you imagine the good if they really wanted to help women? Could you imagine the good that they could have done with $40 million? I think that maybe they could have gotten up-to-date pain medicine at the very least, or maybe they could have fixed some of their facility issues that they were dealing with. $40 million is a lot of money. And to see the way that he is brushing these concerns under the rug, he said that it's, oh, any organization, you can find some disgruntled employees. This isn't disgruntled employees. These are people who believed in the same things that they believe in. They worked for the same cause, obviously, that you and I disagree with, but they were on his side, and they're coming to the public with these concerns. That should tell people an awful lot. Brad, on another note that I want to get your thoughts on, I hadn't imagined this or it hadn't come to my mind, but the author of this article, she pointed out an interesting phenomenon, I guess, that's happening, and that is Obamacare is actually pushing people away from Planned Parenthood, moving them from these abortion facilities toward actual legitimate healthcare clinics. What do you think about that, Obamacare pushing people away from Planned Parenthood?
Well, Victor, there are thousands of these clinics that were placed in communities across the country for women who were unable to access or afford regular health care. And they were legitimate health care facilities. And many women are going to them instead of Planned Parenthood, which is making the abortion conglomerate's financial situation worse. And you may be asking yourself, you the listener, what about after the Dobbs decision and Roe v. Wade was overturned? They bragged about having a bonanza of wealth, according to how people were so upset by Roe being overturned that they gave money to Planned Parenthood. And they did. So, what did they do with it? That's the big question. They didn't give it toward what they claimed to be health care. They put it into their infrastructure and to their political machinery to further the cause for abortion on demand, both on the state and federal level. And Planned Parenthood Northern New England, they were facing budget cuts. So what did they cut? Victor, this is just so typical of what would expect from a Planned Parenthood. They had a trial program going on for prenatal care, and it served 200 to 250 low-income women a month. So what was the first to get the axe? This prenatal care, which they brag about all the time because they say we're not just about abortion. Well, they are. And in the last 5 years, the national headquarters, who are dripping in cash, distributed a little over $899 million to their affiliates. But none of it went directly to what they call medical services. Again, it was all for infrastructure and the efforts locally to keep abortion legal.
Well, and I think that that's an important point to hang on for a second is that number, it's so big, it's almost easy to gloss over it. $899 million. We're talking just shy of $1 billion. That's a hard amount of money to even wrap your head around that they sent out to these affiliates. So as we read this article and we see all of these bad things, all of the accusations, all of the legitimate reports from legitimate workers at Planned Parenthood, and you see that some of these locations are in shambles. I mean, again, going back to sewage coming up in the building, $899 million that could have gone, if they were really truly about helping women, if they were really truly about things like a prenatal care program or, free testing for this or that, I would venture to say, Brad, you could do quite a bit with $899 million. But none of that went directly to those medical services. None of it. So you, the listener, can ask the question, what is the priority of Planned Parenthood? They can tell you all day that their priority is to serve women. But if you follow the receipts, it just, Brad, it just doesn't look like it to me.
No, it doesn't. Victor, I think it comes back to we're very happy and grateful that the New York Times put out this revealing article. But I have to still ask, the New York Times is wedded to abortion on demand and their support of Planned Parenthood. So why would they share this information that paints Planned Parenthood in such a poor and dismal light? Well, I have something that I suspect might be the case. Planned Parenthood's future with federal funding is likely to be axed in this time when we're looking at Elon Musk and President Donald Trump looking for every dollar they can save to protect taxpayers and axing about $1 billion a year going to Planned Parenthood would be low-hanging fruit, in my opinion. And perhaps the New York Times saw the writing on the wall and they wanted to try to paint, and they did so poorly, if this is their motivation, paint Planned Parenthood as desperately needing more cash, not less.
Well, I agree, Brad. As we talk about this, you do wonder why would the New York Times, that, like you said, is so for a long time so wedded to abortion, seemingly such an ally to Planned Parenthood, why would they publish this? And I think that you're probably right that maybe they're trying to get out ahead of something. Maybe they can anticipate that so many Americans don't want our tax dollars to have anything to do with abortion. And now that, the administration is looking into this, Planned Parenthood, like you said, is a glaringly obvious piece of low-hanging fruit, something to be cut. And I think maybe they are trying to paint this picture that Planned Parenthood desperately needs the taxpayer money so that they can provide these services. But again, I would point to what you mentioned earlier in the program. After Dobbs, they had a fundraising bonanza. They had so much money coming into Planned Parenthood. To me, and I'm curious your thoughts on this, Brad, it doesn't seem that they could make a very good pitch to the American people that they need more money when we look at the way that they've spent the money that they have.
Yeah, the key is making sure that Americans understand what's been taking place. The money in, money wasted, abortion agenda of the kingpin of the abortion industry. Planned Parenthood is the nation's largest chain of abortion facilities. And it is the most aggressive entity lobbying, aggressively so, for the status quo of abortion on demand. And they're doing that at the state and federal levels. So we'll be following the story, of course, and both Victor and I will be following it. And I'll be reporting on it in my weekly blog called The Latest. So if you don't subscribe to that already, I encourage you to do so. It's free of charge, of course, comes out once a week. Go to lifeissues.org and subscribe to The Latest.
I want to get your thoughts on one more thing, Brad, because as we talk about how the New York Times really seemingly just buried Planned Parenthood in this article, if they were trying to make a case for their funding, like you said, I think they did a very poor job at convincing anyone that Planned Parenthood needs more money. But one thing I did notice in this is they reference a study, I guess, to try and maybe throw Planned Parenthood a bone at the end. They reference a study claiming that there was, quote, overwhelmingly positive responses among the clients who had been to Planned Parenthood. But a very important detail that cannot be overlooked when it comes to that study is it represented roughly 6% of clients that Planned Parenthood had seen. Could you unpack that a little bit? What do you see as the significance that this is the response of 6% of all of the clients, comparing that to what we've heard, firsthand accounts of what Planned Parenthood does?
Well, I would question those who did the research, and if there's a reason that we should doubt their honesty. Is it possible that just the good comments were saved? I'd like to know more details about that survey and how it was done. And as you said, 6% is nothing. And if it's only 6%, then there's a boatload of clients who had a very negative experience there.
Well, I could tell you that that 6% probably did not involve the clients that went to the facility that had the sewage or the facility that did not provide them correct pain medication. That probably did not give good feedback or the STD result. I keep getting caught on just the significance of what they have done. And, there's lawsuits that have been raised against Planned Parenthood. This is not a good organization. And as we've exposed many times, Brad, you've spoken about this, the history of Planned Parenthood. Maybe we could touch on that very briefly. This is not an organization that's new to scandal. This is an organization that has a history of racism, a history in eugenics. This is as surprising as it is. Maybe it shouldn't be surprising to see finally that this stuff is coming to light when there's such an abundance of dirty laundry that Planned Parenthood has had for so many years to see it come to light. I mean, you've seen it all.
We've done research that shows that a vast majority of abortion centers, 79%, are within walking distance of Black or Hispanic neighborhoods. They are clearly targeting minorities for abortions, and that is very much a racist and eugenics strategy that they marked out when Margaret Sanger, outspoken eugenicist and racist, started Planned Parenthood so many years ago. And the fact that Planned Parenthood has been exposed for the racist organization that they are makes them ripe for cutting their budgets as far as tax dollars go. Americans vastly do not want their tax dollars to undergird abortion on demand. And that is what Planned Parenthood is all about. So this is a wonderful time to see Planned Parenthood from what they really are, and in the context of needing to cut waste and horrendous spending that the government's involved with.
Yeah, you couldn't be more right, especially if the purpose of this article was to try and drum up support for funding Planned Parenthood even more. I want to encourage you, the listener, to make sure that this information is out because, as we've discussed today, when light is shined on the truth of Planned Parenthood, it's very, very clear where their priorities lie, what they're trying to do, and of course, the way that they view the women who are walking through those doors. So I want to encourage you again to visit our website, lifeissues.org, to find more information about this, free resources that we provide to you so that you can share them with your friends, your family members, and your community. Also, be sure to share this program. Again, you can do that by visiting our website, lifeissues.org, and be sure to tune in next week for another Straight Talk on Life Issues.